My name is Mike Matuzzi. I'm the founder of Contemporary Spirituality, and we have the pleasure of again visiting with John Deere. As you may recall, John Deere actually did our first podcast interview when we went to this format 6-9 months ago. At that point, he was working with a different organization. He's graciously agreed to visit with us again and tell us about his new venture, which I find very exciting. So with that said, John, please let us know what you're up to.
Well, thanks for having me back, Mike, and thanks everybody for your all your good work and your contemplative journey. And with the pandemic and all, I was kind of, I've been under lockdown here in the California coast, and I just decided to try to deepen my own contemplative life, and that led me on a kind of a journey of more prayer time and scripture, and one thing led to another, and I decided to step down from my peace group, Pace Bene, and start a new nonprofit organization, which I'm calling the Beatitude Center for the Nonviolent Jesus. We started on November 1st. And, you know, for a year, it's going to be online Zooms, workshops, and retreats. But, you know, as I reflected on this year and the racism and the hatred and the climate change, but the election and 73 million people voting for Trump, and noting that pretty much all of them are Christians and Catholics who are really voting for, to my mind, racism and hatred and corruption and systemic injustice. I thought, gosh, things are getting worse than ever in the country, and especially among Christians. And my whole life's work, Mike, has been to teach people that Jesus was nonviolent, and that if you want to follow this guy, you have to be nonviolent too. So I've decided to really focus on that. I turned 61 this summer, and so that's what I'm going to try to do, I hope, for the rest of my life through this new place, the Beatitude Center. People want to look it up. It's beatitudecenter.org. So I've always been interested, and I probably said it the last time we talked, that Gandhi said Jesus was the greatest person of nonviolence in the history of the world. And then Gandhi said, the only people who don't know Jesus is nonviolent are Christians. And meanwhile, Gandhi, who's a Hindu, he read from the Sermon on the Mount every day for 45 years. That's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Because he said, those are the greatest teachings on nonviolence in human history. And I want to be a person on nonviolence. So I have to go and read my handbook every day. I wonder if anybody else has ever done that in history. So that's what I'm going to be teaching full time. And so we started recently, we have an Advent series on preparing for the coming of the nonviolent Jesus. And then I'm going to do a little New Year's Day retreat talking about, you know, how can we really intentionally deepen our nonviolence for the new year. I call it the year of living nonviolently, and really spend time not only in our contemplative practice, but really examining where nonviolence is challenging us these days in this bad time, and how we can rise to the occasion like people like Gandhi and Dorothy Day and Dr. King in this new year to work for a more nonviolent world. And then I have lots of other nice programs through the year. Like in January, I'm going to do a session on Dr. King and study his letter from the Birmingham jail. On February 6th, I'm going to do an introduction to the nonviolent Jesus. On Ash Wednesday, which is February 17th, which is generally considered a day of, you know, repentance. And I'm going to look at the book of Jonah, which I've always liked, and how Jonah called the people of Nineveh to repent. And then I'm going to do a whole Lenten series every Monday in Lent through Easter Monday, April 5th, on going through various episodes in the life of Jesus from the perspective of nonviolence, but including Holy Week, Good Friday, and Easter. And then I'm going to do a little Easter reflection on nonviolence in April. And so far, the last program I've got is a really special one for me. I'm going to do a 3-hour program on Saturday, May 8th, to mark the 100th anniversary of the birthday of my friend and teacher, Daniel Berrigan, whom, you know, I was with for 35 years and lived with and traveled with. And I'm his literary executor now. So I'm going to talk about his life and all the lessons that I've learned from him. So I'm pretty excited about it, Mike, and I hope people will sign up. And in your work, Mike, as you're encouraging and teaching contemplation, just encourage folks to connect the dots between the contemplative life and gospel nonviolence and public peacemaking. That's what interests me.
You know, I'm interested, and I think you were one of the first people that pointed this out to me, but how many of, you know, these great lights that we have, you know, basically built their spirituality around a daily reading of the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, and I think you pointed, it's like Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Dorothy Day. Yes, or am I remembering that wrong?
Oh, yeah. No, that's true. But can you name anybody else who talks about the Sermon on the Mount? You know,
John Deere.
Well, think about it. There's probably 100 million books on Christianity, and in English, there's about 3 on the Sermon on the Mount. I kid you not, Mike. I wrote a book recently called The Beatitudes of Peace, which is my book on the Sermon on the Mount, but it's mainly on the Beatitudes. But I, for about 20 years now, have been giving retreats on the Sermon on the Mount. And by the way, that's my goal here. So I live in a very unusual, well, I've always lived an unusual life, but it's more unusual than ever now. I live on 1,000 acres right on the Pacific Ocean, by myself in a little cottage on this ranch owned by, you know, this guy who was a great peace lover and an activist against the Vietnam War. And so before he died, he fixed up the cottage and I rent it here. Well, so I have 3 miles of the coast south of Southern Big Sur. It's just spectacular. And I'm under lockdown, of course. But there's this huge, big blue barn on the property, and they do weddings every weekend there. Inside, it's all been redone. It's state-of-the-art wood floors and kitchen and bathrooms and a stage and all. And there's a garden in the back where you have your photos taken looking out at the Pacific Ocean. Well, the landlord has given me the facility. So next summer, 1.5 years from now, in the summer of 2022, I'm going to start doing in-person institutes, workshops, and retreats here on the coast of Big Sur, where I live. For example, I'll do a Monday through Thursday event teaching the Sermon on the Mount, and then another one on Gandhi and others on Jesus, because I just think that's why I'm doing this organization. We've all got to go back to the actual gospel texts, which say, love your enemies, blessed are the peacemakers, put down your sword, hunger and thirst for justice, be as compassionate as Jesus. For all teachings of nonviolence, the core, the critical one is offer no violent resistance to one who does evil. So Gandhi studied that verse every day, and he learned that from Leo Tolstoy. I think I mentioned this before, who studied that verse every day. And Dorothy Day and Dr. King wrote a lot about the nonviolence of the Gospels, especially Dr. King. Merton and Daniel Berrigan and others didn't, because nobody was really writing about Jesus. If you think about it, Merton wrote 150 books and he wrote not one book on Jesus. And that's very typical. Dorothy Day didn't write a book on Jesus. Daniel Berrigan, who wrote 50 books, never wrote a book on Jesus. But what happened was I think it's normal, because the translations were so bad, nobody knew about this, and then Vatican II came along, and the Second Vatican Council called for the church and scholars to put out all new translations of the New Testament, and called for new studies on the Gospels and the New Testament. Well, the best stuff has come out now in the last 50 years, especially in the last 20 years. So you even have the U.S. Bishop's Peace Pastoral talking about the nonviolence of Jesus, and you have groundbreaking works by people like John Howard Yoder, Walter Wink, and Ched Myers, which Merton and Dorothy Day and Dr. King never read. We have these most incredible texts coming out. I've written 5 books now on the nonviolence of Jesus. And I hope I can write more, but I don't know how much more I can say about it. My books, The Questions of Jesus, The Beatitudes of Peace, Jesus the Rebel, Walking the Way, which really goes... It's looking at every major scene as Jesus goes to Jerusalem, does civil disobedience there, undergoes the arrest and execution and then resurrection, all from the perspective of nonviolence. I think it's a totally original book, and very few people have read it because, you know, people don't talk about this. That's why the churches are in such bad shape. We're talking about everything but, you know, the nonviolence of Jesus. So, for example, the churches have been obsessed for last 50 years about sex and all, and Jesus never said anything. But he sure had a lot to say about the poor and love your enemies and put down the sword, and they don't talk about that at all. Nobody does. And we're all for war, by the way, and we're all for nuclear weapons and bombing Iraq. And so we have our work cut out for us, Mike, and it's particularly to your listeners. You know, don't be fooled. Make a conscious connection in your prayer, or put it this way, go and ask Jesus about nonviolence. Meditate on the cross and ask him, the crucified Christ, can we kill and wage war? And let him talk to you about putting down the sword in our hearts, and getting rid of guns and bombs and nuclear weapons. And he wants us to end war. And that's my speech, Mike, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. Well, let me ask you two things. Let me plug 2 of your books, because you were nice enough to send me 3 of them, and I just got them last night. Put Down Your Sword, Answering the Gospel Call to Creative Nonviolence. If you turn to the back cover, you see these people that nobody's ever heard of, like Richard Rohr and Archbishop Desmond Tutu, in praise of John Deere. Archbishop Tutu says, for evil to prevail requires only that good people sit on the sidelines and do nothing. Father John Deere is compelling all of us to stand up and take responsibility for the suffering of humanity, so often caused through selfishness and greed. That's Archbishop Tutu. Richard Rohr had this to say, some people are all theory and some are all practice. John Deere has the ability to be both. Some teachers are very orthodox and some open new ground. John Deere puts the two together, knowing they are the same. And another guy nobody's probably ever heard of, Jimmy Carter. If you turn to another book on the Beatitudes of Peace, Meditations on the Beatitudes of Peacemaking in the Spiritual Life, on the back cover says, the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount are Jesus's blueprint for peace. I urge everyone to study John Deere's beautiful reflections and join his campaign of peace and nonviolence. Jimmy Carter, 39th president of the U.S., Nobel Peace Prize winner, 2002. So you got those people saying,
yeah.
But I want to ask you a practical question, John, because I think, you know, there's a lot of us that voted the other way for Biden that are struggling with this. And you opened with it, 73 million voted for Trump, lots of Christians, lots of evangelical Christians, yet many of us believe, as you said, racism, hatred, systemic injustice are at the heart of it. What do we do with that? How do we move forward, knowing how divisive the rhetoric is, just knowing, you know, the class warfare and the hot button issues that have divided, and it seemed likely will, it just feels like it's going to continue to be divisive for the years going forward.
Yeah, I think it will. And, you know, of course, the 80 million who voted for Biden, it's not like they're all for nonviolent.
Right.
You know,
they support
war and nuclear weapons, too. In fact, the Congress just unanimously approved a new budget of billions for killing people. And a couple of years ago, the Congress was unanimous and approved and voted for, all Republicans and all Democrats, $1 trillion for the upgrading of the nuclear weapons industry. And nobody talks about that. So actually, I don't think we're divided at all. We're all for war and nuclear weapons. And every Christian is supposed to be totally against war and nuclear weapons and racism and killing in any form, because we're followers of Jesus who practice total nonviolence. What are we going to do? First of all, we have to be like Gandhi and go back and study the Sermon on the Mount and try to take Jesus seriously, be contemplatives and ask God to help us to be more nonviolent and sit with the nonviolent Jesus and pray over our own violence and, you know, and then make some decisions. If you have a gun, you got to get rid of it. If you've got a son who wants to go in the military, talk him out of it. If you can, start joining local peace and justice groups and environmental groups. If you're not part of them, you got to get with the grassroots movements. And that's why I don't get involved with politics, actually, Democrats or Republicans. I'm working with grassroots movements of nonviolence, working to disarm the country and the world. And I can't, as I said before, I can't tell people what to do, but I can say nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. And yeah, that's where it's about discerning. Everybody, if you're serious, if you want to follow Jesus, you got to get off your duff and get busy. Now, we have an opportunity during the pandemic to take a lot of time to reflect. But once this thing lifts, let's say in 6 months, we got our work cut out for us. And you're based in Kansas City, and you've got work there to get rid of the nuclear weapons plant and, you know, trying to make Kansas City and the country more nonviolent. But also locally, you can always go and talk to your priest and minister. Give them books on nonviolence. Give them my books. Tell them about my BeatitudesCenter.org project. Because we need priests and ministers to start teaching the nonviolence of Jesus. And they never are, unless people start asking them to, because they're not getting formed or trained properly. And ordinary Christians need to start demanding to hear about the nonviolence of Jesus. Because the world is not working the way it is, and we need to figure out how we can speak up and become teachers of nonviolence and do our bit to spread this new message, this good word.
Who else is out there, John, in this movement other than you? I mean, I know there's many. Are there other names you would be familiar with?
No. You know, there's not many people at all in the United States teaching nonviolence. So there's good groups if people wanted to write some of this down, and I'm involved with all of them. My last group, Pace Bene, or an easier name to remember, is campaignnonviolence.org, and they do good work, especially online and programs. Another group that I'm a founding board member of is wagingnonviolence.org. And they are a really good website with daily reports on nonviolence and nonviolence movements. So this is about educating yourself. There's another organization that I like that does trainings called the Meta Center for Nonviolence, M-E-T-T-A. And they're more Buddhist in nature, but we can all learn a lot from them about practicing nonviolence. And that reminds me, of course, of the great Thich Nhat Hanh, who teaches, the Buddhist teacher, he teaches nonviolence. And that Buddhist website is plumvillage.org. He's my friend, too. So, you know, but if people want to do homework, I encourage you to study Martin Luther King and Gandhi and go online and look up books on nonviolence and get some and read them. If you want to read Christian books on nonviolence, you know, mine and Walter Wink's books are very important. He's the one who broke really great ground. But you can go to Orbis Books and type in nonviolence. There's a lot of great books there.
What's the best book if somebody wanted to do a quick dive into your work? You mentioned five, I think, on this subject matter. What's the best one? What would you say if you go?
I've written 38 now, Mike. I don't know. I need medication. I keep turning.
Oh no, I know you're in the 30s. I thought you said you had five on the Sermon of the Mount, though, and on nonviolence.
Yeah, I had five on Jesus. I think in terms of nonviolence, my book, The Nonviolent Life.
Okay.
And a lot of people liked my Doubleday book, The Questions of Jesus, where I go through all the over 300 questions Jesus asks in the four Gospels. Only two of them are answered. So you'll be happy to know, Mike, I provide the answers to Jesus's questions. No, I kid. And then, I think my book, Walking the Way, is probably, to me, nobody's read it, but it's the most important book I've done because I think it's original writings on Jesus's journey of nonviolence. My book, Mohandas Gandhi Essential Writings, is good. I read through the collected works of Gandhi and picked that's 100 volumes, and I picked my favorite passages, and it's sold very well. And I think it's a really good reader of Gandhi because I picked out spiritual passages too and Christian passages that most anthologies don't have. If people wanted to know about me, my autobiography is still in print called A Persistent Peace. So those are some of my books.
Your autobiography is out?
Yeah, I published it 15 years ago. Wow. I wrote 1,000 pages, Mike, autobiography, and the publisher cut out 650 pages. Can you believe that?
Yeah, a publisher, sure.
I thought if Bill Clinton can write a 1,000-page book, why can't I?
Oh, that's outstanding. Well, I encourage everyone.
It's a big, fat book. I think you can get all my books on Amazon.
I encourage everyone to go to your website. It's very well put together and very easy to follow and very easy to both register and to get more information on these upcoming offerings, which just all seem rich. I'm gonna attend the one with Dr. King, Letters from the Birmingham Jail, because that's of special interest. Thank you so much for your time, John. Anything else you want to pass along that we didn't cover?
No, I just encourage people to look toward starting the new year with a real deepening commitment to follow the nonviolent Jesus, you know, and let's all kind of up our ante and take new steps and new risks and really try to go deeper. Even though the world is getting worse, we're going to try to be better peacemakers and better disciples and let our lives bear better fruit for peace. That's my hope and prayer for everybody. Okay, Mike?
All right, John. Yeah. Thank you, as always, for your time, and best of luck to your new venture. I'm sure it'll just be tremendous.
Thanks so much, and take care, and God bless.